They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is a lifetime farmer. Now, hold on just a minute, because this does impact you, because it has to do with a whole host of things that is farm to table, and you are the consumer of those things. You know, we've been talking about in the newscast about consolidation of the industry, and Chad Tettinger is, he's the president of a company that does construction, but also a cattle operation. It is called Cattleman's Heritage. We're going to be talking about that, and this is a way, and I'm just going to break it to you, this is a way that consumers, you, have more control over what it is you're buying in the beef industry and have more knowledge about what it is that's going on the table or into the restaurant. Chad, welcome to the Business News Hour. I'm sorry for that long introduction, but there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
All right, so tell me basically what your company is about.
So Cattleman's Heritage, at its heart, is about a producer-driven model that will integrate the producer with the packing plant so we can work together and realize better margins, better profits on the farm, at the same time making sure that the consumer in the grocery store knows exactly where their product came from, who it came from, how it's been handled its entire life before it got to them. We believe fundamentally that the family farms are the best people on the planet to be handling your food, to be delivering your food, and getting it to the consumer. And we want to make sure that that doorway is a lot easier to get through than it has been in the past.
This is quite a trend, Chad. We've seen these things spring up all over the place where farm-to-table operations are a big deal with consumers because, again, for years, you'd go to the supermarket and buy whatever you wanted to buy, and you really didn't much know or care where it came from. Now, people have, in the past 5 or 10 years, have all of a sudden gone, you know, I'd like to know more about what it is that I'm consuming, be it vegetable or be it protein, yes?
Yeah, that is exactly what we were being told through all market research and by the consumer very loudly. We want to know where it came from and how it's safe. So our plan is to get full traceability all the way from the source of the animal, all the way through its life, through the packing plant, back to the family farm. So you know what family raised your animal, how it was handled, what was taken care of, and give confidence in the fact that it's a healthy product.
So Cattleman's Heritage is a group that helps independent farmers out there market their beef. Is that accurate?
Well, really what we are is we're going to be a processing plant that are going to have commitments through a shackle space program so that family farms, no matter what their size are, have a great outlet to sell their cattle. And we will buy their cattle at a better market price than average. We will be tying the way we buy cattle to the box beef cutout, which is what the consumer's paying, right, versus the CME, which is, you know, turned into more or less a gambling hall at times today and isn't a very useful tool. So
go ahead and identify what CME is.
So the Chicago Mercantile Board of Trade, you know, which is...
It's like the stock market. It's rolling dice in Vegas, man.
It's like the stock market on steroids.
It is.
It's high level. It's very erratic. So what we've seen over the last 10 years, if you watch the box beef trade cutout price point, it does ebb and flow like any market does. It has some ups and downs, but it ebbs and flows seasonally, more predictable, and at a lower rate, I would guess is how I'd say it. The CME is violently up and down constantly, and when you're using that as a tool, there are days that you could lose a farm just by not being in position. So it's not always safe. You better understand it very well if you're going to use it. And for a small family farm, it's probably not worth the risk. And the small family farms are the ones that have the hardest time marketing their cattle to the big firms.
Sure. One of the things that we've also seen as a trend is many of the small towns throughout, not only Iowa, but throughout the Midwest and other places, have reinvigorated locker facilities. That, you know, somebody's gone out there and said, you know what, I can provide a service in the 25-mile radius that I live in. Have you seen that as well?
We are seeing a lot of lockers open up again, a lot of new lockers being put online, and we're very supportive of that. The problem with that is it takes so many lockers to move a market, right, to actually change a pricing mechanism. We're basically doing the same thing as a locker, except we're doing it at a scale. 2,000 head a day is what we're going to be processing, and we will have the same functionality as a small town locker, meaning we will know exactly where the beef came from, right, we will know exactly its background, and we will know when we're through the plant, still whose meat that was.
Our guest is Chad Tettinger, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about his business, Cattleman's Heritage. All right, let's talk a little bit about the consolidation in not only the beef industry, but we had a news story last week, just last week, about the chicken and poultry industry, where this is again consolidated. Cargill and some other grain manufacturers have bought some major chicken producers out there, chicken farms, which then again compresses where your choices are. Prices rise, wages don't get any better, and the profits fall to the stockholders. How is your organization different?
So how we're going to do is we will be a mid-sized standalone processing plant, and what we'll have contracts directly with the independent family farm. They will guarantee they'll supply the cattle to us, and we will guarantee to give them a fair price. Again, a price that's tied to something that makes sense. Instead of a CME, it's tied to a box beef cutout trend. So what we saw in 2021, box beef prices were at record highs,
right,
and the Board of Trade was extremely low. So we saw somewhere in the vicinity of $800 to $1,000 a head profit at the plant as farmers lost money in real time. So logically, that kind of a market, I don't care if it's beef, chicken, or any industry, cannot survive that way long term. Once you kill your supply chain, no industry can survive.
Speaking of supply chain, we've had a couple of news stories over the past week or 2 weeks about many ranchers are culling their herd due to the drought. How's that going to impact things?
So that's about a 10-year cycle we see. Every 10 years, 8 to 10 years, the cow herd gets cold, it gets down a little lower. So the next 2 years, we will be down on numbers like we are every cycle. And then after that, we will build our herds back and we'll hit a peak about 8 to 10 years from now before it happens again. That's a very cyclical thing in the cattle industry. So for us at Cattleman's Heritage, we wouldn't have known this 3 years ago when we started this process, but it looks like our timing is impeccable because we will be building through the downturn of the cattle market, which is about the only time that the producer has the best chance to make some money, and we will come online through the buildup when we need more capacity. If you go back in time, not that far, 2 years ago, we were out of capacity with the cattle we had. We saw fires, we saw hacking, we saw problems in the industry. And even today, we hear a lot about conspiracies and crazy things about what's going on in our food industry. The reality of it is our plants are old. They're tired. They were built in the 50s, some of these plants,
yes,
to handle 1,000 head. Now they're handling 5,000 head. And you're going to see more problems with plants that way. So mid-sized new regional plants are the future of this industry. And those standalone plants will avoid those huge problems.
How did COVID impact the food processing industry? I mean, we've had story after story after story about workers in facilities and things like that. But have these older plants had to modernize to be able to keep up with production?
Not really. I mean, what they really did was put in methods, you know, plexiglass to put a little bit of distance between people. But those plants are designed in a way you can't spread people out. In our new plant, we've designed it from the ground up. If we ever have another COVID event, our natural spacing is 6 foot apart. We're not arm to arm. We're building the most technologically advanced plant ever built in North America. We're putting the newest technology that has proven to work. It's been used in Europe and New Zealand for 15 years, and that is the model we are using. You know, we hear a lot about these plants, but they're the latest technology that 1980 has to offer. And that's not the path we believe we should go down.
You know, I'm so pleased that you brought up what foreign producers are doing out there, because they are heads and tails above the technology that's currently employed here in the United States. Agritechnica is a big thing over in Hanover, Germany. We have friends that produce there. It's amazing what they've done, not only with robotics, but also in the whole food production chain. And it's fascinating to watch. And then you go, why are we there yet?
Well, in a model that has been very profitable for so many years at a packer level, there's no real incentive to change that model, or why risk it? You know, the United States runs its industry at about 99% capacity at when the herd's at full capacity, which is extremely dangerous, as we saw. Any interruption destroys the marketability. I mean, we're actually very fortunate during this time frame that there wasn't another problem with a plant, because if one plant would have came offline last year, we would have been in a real situation where we'd have been looking at, are we going to, you know, dig holes and bury cattle? Huh. I mean, it was that close. You cannot be that close to the edge at all times. We need more capacity. You know, when I started this plan with Cattlemen's Heritage to build this plant, the beginning, it was a complete play to add capacity into the marketplace so we could get our cattle processed. It's evolved into a partnership with producers through a shackle program, and it's evolved into COVID friendly and the marketing traceability. But it started at the very basic level of, we needed more capacity to make sure that we had a place to sell our product.
And the plant that's going to be constructed is going to be in Marcus, Iowa?
The plant will be in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Okay.
So we had a member of our team 2.5 years ago, we tasked him with, I don't know if it was simple or not, but with one job: find us the best location to build a plant of this size in the Midwest. We didn't state Iowa, we didn't say a state, just give it to us in the Midwest. He's had 30 years in this industry of appraising real estate with packing plants. He came back to us with the site outside of Council Bluffs. It's a large population, so we have our employee base. It's a central hub for shipping, great access all the way around, and access to the best cattle in the world.
Right. And one of the things is that Omaha Council Bluffs area was at one time a center of beef production, yes?
Yes, and there's still that industry there. It's welcoming to this kind of an industry, which is a big part of it. We looked at towns along the way. If they don't want us there, we don't want to be there. That's right. Something you can't fight. If you look at plants that have troubles with startup and being long-term viable, you look at, can they get employees? Can you get work? Well, when you have 1 million people across the river, we like our odds to make sure we can always have employees. The other part of it is design. We have spent a lot of time and energy and money in design. We are going to make sure that it functions, it flows well. Again, with the technology that's so vital to be able to trace the product through the plant to make sure that we know what everything's going on, that's vital to the future, and that's what the consumer wants.
That is what the consumer wants. We hear it all the time. Let's talk about the business model for this. Investors? How are we doing with getting the capital?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a major undertaking. What do you think that the plant's going to cost to build?
All said and done, the plant with all cost of opening, operating, starting up, everything included, it's about $510 million.
That's a big chunk.
It's a significant dollar amount. So really, the first thing I did to make sure that this would function, I hired a large company out of Chicago, a large accounting firm, gave them the numbers. They took the numbers, looked at the industry, and first thing I asked them was, make sure that we can build this and it functions. And they did all the numbers. Not only can we build it, it functions extremely well. It's a great investment. So what we've done is we've sold some Class A, our seed money. We've sold Class C shares, which is still open today because we just figure farmers want to be involved, let them in. We're selling shackle now, right? That will be another investment into the plant. But we are also sitting down with retailers right now to guarantee offtake partnerships. To date, we have been contacted by no less than 40 companies to buy the product. They want,
really?
This is high demand product.
Is it high demand only in the Midwest, or are you getting tickles from other parts of the country?
We've had, out of those 40 companies, that is worldwide.
Yeah.
Worldwide. Yeah. So, you know, one of the big questions, and it's a very good question, can you sell the product? The answer is obviously yes. It's in high demand. The other thing that I think is people got to think about it a little better is they look at it and say, well, you got to compete with the big four to sell this product. Well, but we're not creating more product. There's still only so many pounds on the market every day. So somewhere in that market, somebody's buying the same amount of beef they need it. They're just going to buy it from somebody else. And again, you know, at our size, we're about 1.5% of the capacity of the U.S. a day.
Sure.
It's a blip on the radar. There is no pressure from the big four. And I personally, although the model doesn't work well for the small producer today, the big four are vital to our industry the way it was set up. Because if they come offline, what are we going to do with our product?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, they take the bulk of the product. They take the bulk of the cattle. And the business model has just, in my opinion, got a little out of whack over the last 20 years, more noticeably than ever.
And the smaller producer. Let's say that you're out there and you're doing cow calf and you're running 1,000 head. Is there a market for you?
you know, it can be really difficult to have a market when you're 1,000 head. You're not, you know, if you're only selling once a year and they know that,
right,
you know, you get to show your cattle, you're basically going to take whatever's bid, or you might have to go to a sale barn, or you might have to hire somebody to market your cattle. You know, in our model is you buy those shackles. If it's 200 shackles, you want to deliver 200 a year, you're guaranteed that space.
Define shackles.
A shackle is a space for one animal to come through the plant. So we are selling, our plant can do about 530,000 head a year. We will sell 450,000 spaces. So when you buy a shackle, you're buying a space. So to me, I don't care if you're if you want to deliver 200 head, buy 200 shackles, and that will guarantee you access to our facility at a timely manner when the cattle are done and to a premium market. The reality of it is
that's different, isn't it?
That nobody's ever done that.
I was going to say I've never heard of this before.
Well, because nobody's ever focused on the small family farm, certainly in the last 40 years. It's been moving to large corporate feedlots. Which, again, I'm not against any of those feedlots either. This is just a point of we have a lot of independent cattle producers in Iowa. Iowa leads the nation in independent cattle producers, and we're losing our marketability. So either as the state of Iowa has to recognize the fact that either we have to consolidate all our feedlots into several large feedlots, or we have to have programs like this. The shackle program that I've put together, what it really does is give every small farmer the same marketability as a 450,000 head feedlot.
Right.
That's pretty significant.
As far as the economy of scale, again, less than 1% of the market, you know, for you guys. But the interest level among retailers out there, I would think would start to get really hot once they realize what the consumer is after versus what is being delivered at the present time.
Well, make no mistake about it. Out of the 40 companies that have contacted us, you know, there's probably been 15 of them are retail. Wow. Large regional retail, large international retail, all of that's very important because you're exactly right. What the retail knows right now today is tying your food back to your source instills guarantee safety.
$64,000 question is spade goes in the ground and the plant gets up and running when?
So we are anticipating to try and break ground in October. We are negotiating the finalizing deals. Worst case scenario, it's spring. You know, we will have winter that we'll have to contend with. But the six-month window is well worth it. So we're working diligently through that. Right now, we are, again, we're still working with the farmers to make sure that the shackles are there. We're working with several offtake partnerships right now and the banks, right? So reality of it is we're negotiating all the money today to build the plant and just making sure we're making the best deal for the long term.
How difficult, a final question for you, because we can't not talk about the USDA. How difficult is it for a startup organization like yours to get funding from the United States Department of Agriculture?
We have applied for all the programs that have been announced. $3.8 billion, my last calculation says, has been announced in this space. The USDA has been great to work with. The problem with it is, we don't know where the money's at today. We don't know if we're going to get it any or not. But the reality of it is nobody's ever done this before.
Right.
So all these new programs have to be written, regulated, figured out how to do it, and target it. And they're working through that problem. But to my knowledge today, none of it's been allocated. But we have great communication with them, and we anticipate that there will be funding available for that and for a lot of processors like us.
And you are actively seeking, A, investors, B, you're also selling the shackles for family farmers, and all of that information is on your website.
Correct. So, you know, at the website is cattlemansheritage.com /shackle space. You know, the biggest thing that we want to talk about is, any questions, reach out to us. You know, I'm a family farmer just like you are. We've been in this business our whole lives, and we just want the right information so that families can make the right decisions in this time.
You know, I lied. I said final question, so I never do the final question the final time. I feel like Columbo sometimes. As you look at this area that you can service out of Council Bluffs, that's a multi-state area.
Yeah, it's really, reality of it is we're looking at about 180 miles outside of Council Bluffs in any direction. Obviously, there will be some exceptions made depending on the producer and what we have, but that's really the focus area right now. And, you know, for the farmer, for the family producer, I just think they owe it to themselves to take a look at this. This shackle program has never been offered. For all I know, I don't know if it'll ever be offered again, but once the shackles are sold, you know, you won't be part of the situation that helps. And having a better outlet, a guaranteed outlet, and a better market is something that every producer should be looking at today.
It is an exciting opportunity, and it's also a really interesting dive into how we create food on this planet today. Chad Tettinger, thank you so much for spending time with us. This has been enlightening, I think, and it's going to shed some light with lots of people out there about opportunities moving towards the future. So thank you.
Thank you.
You've just met Chad Tettinger, who is behind something called Cattleman's Heritage. His mission is to help save family farms. We have a whole list of things on the radio blog and links to Cattleman's Heritage for you to check out. Great story. And that puts a wrap on today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Chad Tettinger, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.